Attar is a Muslim because of your generosity, Ya Allah. Let him depart from this world with Iman, Ya Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف عقائد عالم نور مجسم شاہ آدم و بنی آدم شافع امم Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said that the person who recites 50 times durood pak upon me daily, I will shake hands with him on the day of Qiyamah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Dear Islamic brothers, once again we are going to discuss about branches of faith. Previously we had discussed beliefs regarding the being, the zat, and the attributes, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Previously we explained a few terminologies and we will recap some of those terminologies today, and then we will move forward with today's lesson inshaAllah azza wa jal. We learned what is wajib, muhal, and mumkin. Wajib means necessary, muhal is impossible, and mumkin is possible. We discussed that Allah is wajibul wujud. Allah's existence is necessary, and our existence is merely possible. We also discussed the definition and the meaning of qadim, non-creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal without a beginning and everlasting without an end, because beginning and end are also points in time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of time. Allah always existed and will always exist. Another word, or other words for that, is azali and abadi, eternal without a beginning and everlasting without an end. We also discussed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent, and independence here is not like human independence where when we have a job and we can sustain ourselves, we then say we are independent. But independence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that Allah is not dependent on anyone or anything for anything, but everyone and everything is dependent on Allah for everything. And with the exception of Allah's being, Allah's zat, and Allah's sifat, Allah's attributes, everything else is what is known as hadith. And hadith means that which came into existence from non-existence. In other words, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the creator of everything, and only Allah is qadim, but everything else is hadith. It came into existence from non-existence, i.e. it was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who says that the attributes of Allah azza wa jal is a creation, or regards it as being hadith, is misguided. The one who believes that the attributes, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they consider it a creation, or if they consider it to be hadith, that which came into existence from non-existence, then that person is misguided. Why? Because both the Zat and the Sifat, the personality, the divine being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are Qadeem, always existed, eternal without a beginning, and everlasting without an end. One who says anything in the universe to be Qadeem, uncreated, anything other than Allah, to be Qadeem, and has a doubt regarding anything in the universe being Hadith, created, then that person is a non-believer. In other words, if somebody believes that anything of the universe is Qadeem, or has a doubt that everything other than Allah is Hadith, then that person is a kafir. Because only Allah is Qadeem, everything and everyone else is Hadith. Only Allah is eternal without a beginning and everlasting without an end, and everything and everyone else has a beginning and has an end. That which came into existence from non-existence is what is meant by Hadith. Neither is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the father or the son of anyone. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. And nor does he have any wife. Anyone who claims that Allah Azza wa Jal is the father or son of anyone, or says that Allah Azza wa Jal has a wife, is a disbeliever. He is a kafir. Even if one considers this to be mumkin, even if one considers that there is a possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have a son or a father or a wife, he is misguided and he is a bad aqidah, bad deen. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hay. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal is self-existing. And the lives of everyone and everything is in His divine control. He gives life to whomsoever He wills and causes death whenever He wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayyun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-existing. We are alive, but our life depends on Allah giving us life. But Allah being alive, He is self-existing. It's not dependent on anyone. As we said, the meaning of Samadun, that Allah is not dependent on anyone or anything for anything. But everyone and everything is entirely dependent on Allah for everything. Okay? So even if we have life, then that life is granted to us by Allah. And if Allah wills, at any time, Allah can take our life away. But Allah is also Baqi, everlasting, without end. Allah is Hayyun, self-existing. He is Qadir. He has divine power over everything that is mumkin, everything that is possible. There is nothing possible that is out of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As is mentioned in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah has the power over everything possible. Allah is free from anything which is muhal, impossible. It cannot be connected to the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhal, impossible, cannot be connected to the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is all splendid and most graceful. He is free from all that which has deficiencies or defect. In other words, it is muhal for there to be any deficiency or defect in Allah Azza wa Jal. Moreover, even that which neither has deficiency nor splendor is muhal for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is free from lies. Allah is free from deceit, distrust, tyranny, ignorance, and immodesty. These are absolutely muhal, impossible for Allah Azza wa Jal. To say that He Azza wa Jal has qudrat, power over lying, is in the sense that He can tell a lie, is to declare muhal, absolutely impossible, to be mumkin, possible, and to imply that Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal has defect. This in reality is to reject Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. To think that Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal's qudrat has a weakness if He does not have power over muhal, absolutely impossible things, is absolutely baseless. You know, some people will try to use silly logic to where there is a fault not in the answer, but the fault is in the question. Some people will say that, no, you know, we have the ability to lie. It is within our power, within our ability to lie. So if we have the power to lie, then surely Allah should have the power to lie. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no defect. And there is no shortage in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is all powerful, He is most merciful, He is most gracious, He is all seeing, He is all hearing, He is most knowledgeable. Whenever you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not in finite terms. You don't talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like He has some knowledge and not other knowledge kind of thing, you know. Whenever you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is our creator. He is Qadim. He is the creator of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything. So, when there is a human weakness and we try to associate a weakness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as though you're trying to make the impossible possible. It is as though you are trying to make the impossible possible, because Allah is perfect. Allah is perfect. And you are trying to make Allah imperfect. So does that make sense? It doesn't make sense that you are trying to make that which is perfect imperfect by trying to associate defects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a shortage or weakness in the qudrat of Allah. In reality, it is the weakness and shortage of that muhal that is not worthy of having connection with the divine qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, you understand? Existence, divine power, divine hearing, divine seeing, divine speech, kalam, divine knowledge, and divine will are all His self attributes, His personal attributes. He does not depend on ears, eyes, tongue to hear, see, or speak, as these are all physical, belonging to a body. And Allah Azza wa Jal is free from any physical form and body. He hears the faintest of sounds and sees the smallest of things, even that which cannot be seen under the lenses of a microscope. His seeing and hearing is not only confined to this, but He is all seeing and all hearing. We thus say that Allah Azza wa Jal sees absolutely and hears absolutely. For us to be able to see, firstly, like we mentioned last week, firstly we need for Allah to will us to see. Okay? Allah to grant us sight. Allah's attributes are His personal attributes. But Allah has granted us, that is Zati, and what we have is Atai, granted by Allah to us. So if we can see, we see by the grant of Allah. But Allah does not need anything to see, it is His personal attribute. We hear, it is through the grant of Allah. Allah grants us the power of hearing, so we are able to hear. But Allah's hearing is His personal attribute. He hears and sees everything. Okay? So the first thing is that we require Allah to grant us the power to be able to see and hear, whilst Allah does not require it from anybody else, it is personal. Ours has to be granted by Allah. Secondly, for us to be able to see, we need eyes. And Allah is free from eyes. Allah is the creator of this body. So Allah is free from any organs, any parts of the body. For us to see, we need eyes. Allah sees everything without the need of eyes. For us to hear, we need ears. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears without the need of ears. Allah sees everything, Allah hears everything, but Allah is not dependent on anything or anyone to be able to see or to be able to hear. Like all his other attributes, his kalam, his words or his speech or his communication is also qadeem, uncreated. The kalam of Allah, the communication of Allah is qadeem, always existed, non-creation, eternal beginning, everlasting without an end. It is not hadith. It is not a creation. It did not come into existence from non-existence. Anyone who says the Quran is what? The kalam of Allah. The Quran is the kalam of Allah, the word of Allah, the communication of Allah, the speech of Allah. Anyone who says the Quran to be a creation has been termed a kafir by our Imam Azam Abu Hanifa and all other great imams. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. The kufr infidelity of such a person is proven from the Sahaba ikram. Okay, so according to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa and other a'imma, to say that the Quran is creation, because the Quran, not the pages, that when we say the Quran, not what comes out of our tongue, or not the pages, not the book, that is creation. Okay? But the actual kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is non-creation. That is azali and abadi, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, zat is azali and abadi. Because that is part of his attributes. So it is non-creation. His kalam, divine word, is free from sound. So when we recite the Quran, there is sound. But the actual kalam of Allah is free from sound. The Quran Sharif that we recite with our tongues and which we read from written scriptures, the actual Quran itself is the uncreated kalam of Allah without any sound. Our reading, writing and our voices are hadith creation. In other words, our recitation is creation, and that which we have recited is qadim. Our recitation is creation, but that which we have recited is qadim. Our writing is hadith, and that which we have written is uncreated, qadim. Our hearing is creation, and that which we have heard is uncreated. Our memorizing is creation, and that which we have memorized is uncreated. Okay? In simple words, the Quran as the kalam of Allah is not the creation of Allah. It is the sifat or the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is qadeem and it is azali and abadi, like the zat, like the personality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almighty Allah's knowledge encircles everything, whether it is complete or partial, or be it present, possible, or totally impossible. In other words, He knew of everything always, azali, knows of everything currently, and will always know of everything forever. Okay? So Allah's knowledge encircles everything. Our knowledge, firstly, Allah's knowledge is His personal knowledge, zati knowledge. And our knowledge, even the knowledge of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that is knowledge granted to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is atai knowledge. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. But our knowledge is limited, restricted. Whether it be the knowledge of the seen or the unseen, our knowledge is restricted. For example, we cannot perceive Allah. If we have to think about anything, if we have to picture, try to picture in our minds, whatever we picture cannot be Allah. Because in order for us to picture it, we have to have knowledge about it, we have to have a point of reference. And there is no point of reference when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَكَ مِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There is no example, there is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we imagine, if we try to think of the Zat of Allah, whatever you imagine cannot be Allah. We know Allah enough to worship Him, but to ponder too much about the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discouraged in Islam. Because it could lead to kufr. Because sometimes you could be thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has body parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sitting on a throne, sitting on a chair, then you're giving Him body parts. Man a'udhu billahi min dhalik, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from that. Allah created body, Allah created time, Allah created space, Allah created place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. And only He is Qadim and everything else is hadith, came into existence after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. Things may change, but His knowledge does not change. He is aware of the fears and feelings of the hearts. His knowledge is indeed without limits. So everything which is tangible, physical, that which is made up of matter, Allah has the knowledge of all of that. But not only that, that which is intangible, like thoughts, like dreams, and things that are intangible, that is not made up of matter, Allah has the knowledge of that as well. And Allah's knowledge does not have any bounds nor any limitations. Allah knows of everything which is muhal and which is mumkin, which is apparent and which is hidden. He knows everything, be it manifest or hidden, be it ghaib, be it seen or unseen. Ilm-e-Zati, the divine self-knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the personal knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is His unique attribute. Any person who tries to prove ilm-e-Zati, be it manifest or hidden things, for anyone but Allah, is a disbeliever. So only Allah has personal knowledge, Zati knowledge. And everyone else has atai knowledge, granted knowledge, granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you try to say that anyone other than Allah has, whether it be knowledge of the seen or knowledge of the unseen, if you say that this is so and so's personal knowledge, not granted by Allah, then that is kufr, that is shirk, because that is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in attribute. Only Allah's knowledge is zati, personal. Everyone who has been granted knowledge, who has knowledge, has been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the creator of everything, be it beings or actions. Everything that has been created by Allah azza wa jal. In reality, it is Allah who sends down sustenance. The angels, etc., are only means and channels for delivering the sustenance. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created angels to do certain work. Some angels are responsible for rizq, for rain, etc. But in reality, it is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sustenance comes from Allah. Rizq comes from Allah. But Allah chooses to grant you rizq through angels, through prophets, through His pious servants, through the awliya ikram, through your boss, through your employer, etc. But rizq ultimately comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As per His divine knowledge, He has predestined all the good and bad things. In other words, He ordained them as they were to happen and as they were to be done. However, this does not mean that we have to do it because He has written it. But it means He has written it as we were to do it. Thus, if Allah Azza wa Jal predestined bad for a certain person, it is because that person was to do bad things. If he was to do good things, Allah would have predestined good for him. So His knowledge and writing did not force or compel any person to do anything. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has likened those who reject taqdeer to the fire worshippers in this nation. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Good and bad comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The topic of taqdeer is very complex and needs a lot of explanation. But simply put, we as human beings are created and we are given free will. We are given free will. But Allah's knowledge is so encompassing. Allah's knowledge is so encompassing that before we do something, Allah has the knowledge of what we are going to do. Allah has the knowledge of what we are going to do. And Allah has written down what we are going to do. So in a nutshell, taqdeer is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The infinite knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not that we will do it because it's written in taqdeer. It's not that. It is because we are going to do that, so Allah has the knowledge of what we are going to do, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that. So we have free will. If we were going to do good, then Allah would have written good for us. And if we were going to do bad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would write bad for us. But it is not that we are forced to do it. It is because Allah is all-knowing, and Allah knows what we are going to do, how we are going to do it, when we are going to do it. So the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete. And Allah's knowledge is not restricted to time and space. See, our knowledge increases over time. As we acquire more knowledge, our knowledge increases. But Allah is not subject to change. Allah is not subject to change. And Allah's knowledge does not increase over time. You understand? If we do this, then Allah comes to know, okay, we've done that. Then tomorrow we do something else, then Allah comes to know, oh, we've done that. So Allah is free from that. We learn from experience. We learn from studying. We acquire knowledge and our knowledge increases. But Allah's knowledge is complete and Allah is all-knowing. And Allah knows everything that has happened, is happening and will happen. And this knowledge does not change because Allah is not subject to change. Allah's knowledge is complete and is not restricted to time and not dependent on time. Whereas our knowledge increases over time, Allah's knowledge is not dependent on time. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we are doing now. He knows what we have done yesterday, and He knows what we will do tomorrow. So before we even came into this world, Allah knew exactly what we will do, when we will do it, and how we will do it, and that is what was written, and that is what we refer to as taqdeer. In a simple way, it's a little bit more complex than that, and we will go into a little bit more of it, a little bit more detail, inshallah azza wa jal. Ulama ikram have said that taqdeer has three categories. Fate has three categories. Mubram-e-haqiqi, which refers to inevitable fate, which is not pending in any regards to anything in the knowledge of Allah azza wa jal, and it is not changeable. So mubram haqiqi is that taqdeer which is not changeable. Mu'allaq mahaz, pending, refers to that which is evidently pending in the books of the angels and can be changed. And mu'allaq shabiba mubram refers to that which is not evidently shown to be pending in the books of the angels, but it is in the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal as a pending situation, i.e. it can be changed through the du'as of Allah's chosen servants. Mubrami haqiqi, unchangeable taqdeer. Mu'allaq mahaz, that taqdeer can be changed. For example, if it is written in the book of angels that you will live for 30 years, but then you traveled in a 3-day Madani qafila of Dawat-e-Islami, and this pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then your life was extended by another 10 years. As an example, I'm giving you a simple example. So in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah knows that you won't live only for 30 years. You will live for 40 years or maybe 50 years. But even that action which brings about the change in your taqdeer, either dua, sadaqah, any good deed for example, that will increase your life, that will increase your rizq, that too is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That too is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will do certain act, it will increase your life, you will do another act, it will increase your life, but that which is now the final, that you will die at the age of 50 for example, now that taqdeer is unchangeable, and that will be in the category of mubram e haqiqi. In the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that taqdeer is not changeable. Whereas mu'allaq is still pending, is pending, and once you do certain actions, then that you can have an increase in risk, you can have an increase in life. And then there's the in-between one. According to the books of angels, it is unchangeable. But according to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is changeable. Okay? So, according to the books of angels, it is not changeable. It is mubram e haqiqi. But according to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is mu'allaq. So therefore, ulama ikram have given that category, mu'allaq shabiba mubram. Okay? So it is actually mu'allaq in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but according to the books of the angels, it is mubram. It is unchangeable. But in the knowledge, because Allah's knowledge is complete. Now let me tell you this much, that the knowledge of Allah, everything that happens, everything and the way it happens, it is part of the taqdeer that has been written. And nothing can happen that which has not been written. Why? Because that which has been written is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah's knowledge is complete. And if you believe that something can happen that is not written for you, then that is trying to find fault in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Mubrame haqiqi, inevitable fate, cannot be changed. Occasionally, even if the most favorite and blessed servants of Allah Azza wa Jal intend to intercede in this regard, their thoughts are diverted away from such issues. When the angels descended over the nation of Hazrat Sayyidina Lut alayhi salatu wassalam with punishment, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, who was very merciful, as even his name means, merciful father, Ibrahim, merciful father, attempted to present the case of these infidels in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and in doing so, he even began protesting in this regard in a respectable manner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His creator, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal says, يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوت. He began protesting with us regarding the nation of Lut. In this verse, the Quran has refuted those blasphemous persons who claim that the chosen servants of Allah Azza wa Jal have no authority in His exalted court. In this verse, Almighty Allah refutes their false beliefs by showing that verily they have been granted an exalted position to be heard in His court. For He says that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam began to protest about the nation of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. This has further been substantiated in a hadith sharif wherein it has been mentioned that on the night of Mi'raj, Aqaidu Alam Nure Mujassam, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, heard a voice. It was the sound of someone conversing in a very loud and high tone with Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam questioned Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam regarding who this was. And he replied that it was Hazrat Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, does he speak to his creator in such a high pitched voice? So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, his creator knows well of his intense nature. It has been mentioned in the hadith sharif regarding the miscarried child of Muslim parents that on the day of Qiyamah, such a child will protest and demand the forgiveness of his parents from Allah Azza wa Jal, just as a creditor demands what is due to him from the debtor. He will demand until Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal will say, O child of miscarriage, O you who is demanding or quarreling with his Lord, take your parents by the hand and lead them into Jannah. The above statements were simply presented in response to objections, but it is of great benefit to those with iman, as is a means of obliterating the wretchedness of the evil ones amongst the humans. So this was just an example of the status and the maqam of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam in the holy court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salatu wa salamun alayki ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah. The aim was to mention that the punishment that befell the people of Lut alayhi salatu wa salam was qadaya mubrami haqiqi, inevitable fate. When Ibrahim Khalilullah ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam protested in this regard, Allah Azza wa Jal addressed him saying, O Ibrahim, do not worry about this. Verily the divine command of your creator has come. Mu'allaq mahaz, pending, is that which can be reached and alleviated through the intercession and du'as of most awliya Allah. As for that which is a pending condition, which is also known simply as mubram, in the register of the angels, then this is only reached by the chosen amongst the pious. It is with regards to this that Huzur Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I cause qaza-e mubram to be alleviated. It has been mentioned in the hadith sharif as follows, verily dua wards off qaza-e mubram. The issue relating to faith taqdeer cannot be understood by ordinary minds, and delving and pondering too intensely in this regard can lead to destruction. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu were even cautioned against discussing this issue at length. So what about us? All that one needs to know is that Almighty Allah did not create man like stones and other lifeless objects. But Allah Azza wa Jal has given man the independence to decide whether he should do a certain thing or not. With this independence, man has also been blessed with intelligence, so that he may differentiate between what is right and what is wrong, and to judge what causes benefit and what is harmful. He has also been blessed with all the necessary supporting means so that he may fulfill whatever he needs to. And it is for this reason that he is held accountable for his actions. For one to think that he is totally powerless or completely powerful is to be misguided. To commit evil and sinful deeds and then attribute it to taqdeer, fate, or to attribute it to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal is extremely wrong. The law in this regard is that if one performs any good, he should attribute it as being from Allah, and if one commits any wrongful or sinful act, it should be attributed to the evils and mischief of one's own desires. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, today we have discussed some more beliefs regarding the Zat, the being, and the Sifat, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very briefly, we have also touched on the topic of Taqdeer. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill in our hearts true iman, true faith. And like I said before, iman is such a thing, beliefs are such a thing that has to be inscribed in your hearts. There is no following anyone in belief. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true iman. And inshallah azza wa jal, in the next topic, inshallah azza wa jal, we will discuss a little bit more about beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will go on to beliefs relating to nubuwwat and the unique station of prophethood. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Attar is a Muslim because of your generosity, ya Allah. Let him depart from this world with iman.